Okay, we're back. We're going to pick up again in Genesis 25. We're going to move on to Jacob, as we stated, finishing up with Abraham. In Genesis chapter 25, I'll read verse 25 or chapter 25, verse 1, and then I'm going to skip down and read 5 and 6. Genesis 25, verse 1. Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And I'm going to drop down from there. You see the sons in verses 2, 3, 4. And verse 5 says, and Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son, while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to study your word together. We pray, as always, for more insight and enlightenment as we read your word. We pray for the body members that as we read these things, our hearts and minds might be open to receive it, and that we might, as we meditate on these things, have a more deeper understanding of your word and your will. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're picking up in verse 5, where Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, and that is Isaac being his only begotten son. Now, before we move forward, just want to remind you guys that these characters are all should add to a picture, our understanding of what God is doing, and not only what he's doing overall, but how he uses his people and how responding in faith is always important. He doesn't make any of these characters, and we'll see, he doesn't make them do anything that they don't want to do. They always have a choice because he always wants a willing participant. I know, Johnny, we talk about that sometimes, is the Calvinist point of view. God is not ordaining all these events. He gives these characters room to make their mistakes. He gives them room to disobey him. He gives them room to make their own decisions. Now, his determinate counsel and his foreknowledge does not take away our individual accountability. And this is what makes these things so interesting, is that we see how God honors his word and how he works things out according to his counsel. And his counsel doesn't interfere with the actions of the men, and the actions of the men doesn't foil his counsel. He knows what's going to happen. So we look at these things, and they shouldn't take us by surprise how God works these things according to his will. And verse 5 again, Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, and unto the other sons he sent them away. Now, verse 7, and these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 365 years. That is, when you do the math, 175. Now, why is that there? When you look back at all these events that Abraham went through, look back at chapter 12, Genesis chapter 12. You got your pencil, Jenny? Genesis chapter 12. And verse, let's see, we're going to start at verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was, how old? 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now, this is the start of his course with God, or his walk with God. He's 75 years old. So we go back to Genesis 25 and verse 7, and Abraham dies, and these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 365 years. So you have 175 when he dies, 75 when he starts. What's the difference, Jenny?
100.
100.
Honor.
I say that, and by now, I hate to, well, I don't hate to belabor the point, but I just put that in there because it's in there. It's all these things God is showing us. He's trying to get over to us what he's doing with these characters, how important they are to him, how his will for them and their worship and service, he's indicating that by the places they go, the numbers he puts in the scripture, all these incidents he's recording for us. Just like, okay, I'll give it, and we'll move on after this. Verse, remember when, I think we read this last week, Genesis chapter, when Isaac was blessed by God after he went from Abimelech. I'm not going to find it. No.
Chapter 26. Well, I'm not sure. It says, and Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us. So I was wondering if that might be part of it.
Yeah, and then also Genesis 25, talking about God blessed his son Isaac. But I don't know if that's probably 26.
No, that's not it. That's anyway, it'll if it comes back to me, then we'll go back there. But it had the hundreds in there.
It's 26 starting at, oh, I just had it, verse 12. Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year 100-fold.
That's it. Yeah. 26:12?
Yes.
Yes, okay. This is right after Abimelech is, sorry for that, for the delay, but 26:10, and Abimelech said, what is this that thou hast done unto us? You know, Isaac did the same thing that Abraham did. When Abraham was in Egypt, he told Sarah to tell them that you're my sister. And Isaac gets to Gerar, and he is doing the same thing with his wife, Rebekah. Matter of fact, let's go back to verse 6. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife. And he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. Now, back to God allows these men to, after all Isaac has been through with his father, he still allows them to make these decisions. He still lets them, gives them room to doubt and room to believe. Here they are, fearing their protection from God. He says, tell them that you're my sister. Verse 8, and it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. You know, sporting is, you know, how you frolic around with your mate, not your standard play. Maybe they were, you know, hugging and flirting around. In verse 9, and Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. And how sayest thou, she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, what is this that thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have been brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Then Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. This is what, if you're reading fast and not contemplating these things or meditating on these things, they don't mean as much as I think they should mean. God is showing you, these men are my men. Abraham, or even back to Seth, Noah, Shem, Abraham, Isaac. When you see that 10, that 100, that 1,000, that 10,000, perk your ears up, your spiritual ears, and listen. You see how God causes Isaac to prosper. And verse 12, and the Lord blessed him. So we get on to, we're moving on again to Jacob. So we have Isaac being blessed by God. And Isaac, we're going over to chapter 25 and verse 19. Genesis 25, verse 19. And I think you picked up the 25:7 with Abraham being, that's a 100-year span that Abraham walks with God. It's no accident that it's a 100-year span. Abraham, Isaac, now it's going on to Jacob, 25:19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padanaram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Now, what you see now is 40 years goes by. This is the preparation. This is your preparation number. And Isaac entreats the Lord for Rebekah, his wife, because she was barren. Sounds familiar? Isaac knows now, if Rebekah has a son, who should he attribute it to? He should give God the credit, shouldn't he?
Yes.
Verse 22, and the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. This is a service issue. Notice he said, the elder shall serve the younger. This is a two manner of people that God is dealing with, two nations. He's narrowing down the nation. He's focusing on his chosen nation for service. And in that nation, you'll still have those individuals who will have to respond in faith. Just because he picks a certain group of people, inside that group of people, they still have to exercise individual faith. Verse 24, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over, like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand, took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, here you are, these individuals still have their own personality, their own choices, their own feelings. Now, God has honored Isaac's request and given him not just a son, but now he's having twins. When Rebekah inquires, what's the problem? Why, if this is such a blessing, why is the struggle? And why am I having these pains that I'm having? And he tells her that this is what's happening. God is telling them, these two boys are symbolic of two nations. and the elder shall serve the younger. And Isaac, 60 years old when these boys are born, verse 26, Jacob's hand takes hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, which means supplanter or a usurper or replacer. Even in the womb, Jacob is trying to take the position of the firstborn. But God has already said the elder shall serve the younger. You can see the fine line, God knowing what's going to happen. Rebecca is experiencing these issues, and God tells her what it is. His foreknowledge, he knows. Verse 28, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebecca loved Jacob. And this is a natural, fleshly response where the father, he loves the manly man. And the mother, Jacob, he's like a mama's boy. Look down at verse 34. Well, we'll just read through here and pick this up. Verse 27, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. Sowed pottage. Do you know what that means? Jacob sowed pottage. That means he was, go ahead.
Yeah, he was cooking.
He was boiling some soup. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So he's in the house, doing his thing. He's cooking. He's not out in the field, honey. Like I said, he's not a manly man. He's more of the soft type. In verse 29, and Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now here you have this little incident here. And you wonder in verses 30 and 31, when Esau comes in from the field, and Esau says, feed me with that pottage. And Jacob, just out of the blue, says, sell me thy birthright. You know he had probably been contemplating that then, don't you? You don't just come up with something that elaborate, asking his brother to sell him his birthright. He knew that Isaac loved him more than he loved Jacob. Nothing like a sibling rivalry, is it? I don't know if any of you guys grew up with us, and most families do. If you have more than one son or daughter, they have that rivalry. Parents always say, when you ask them what their favorite, who their favorite is, they always say what? I don't have a favorite. I love them all the same. Don't they say that, Annette?
Yes.
Now, one thing we do know, that's not true. Now, they may say that, but that's not true. And we'll find out going forward that Jacob had a couple of favorites. Everybody has their own personality and their own characteristics that they bring to the table. And parents like some of those things better in their children. And Jacob, he says, sell me thy birthright. That is the rights of the firstborn. that is the next person in line was Esau, just by being the firstborn. And that's the main principle in Scripture, is the firstborn. They get all the rights as the next ruler in line. That's why when God said, take Isaac, thy son, thine only son. And Blake brought out last week that Isaac was God's chosen seed for the rulership. Although Abraham had Ishmael first, Ishmael was the firstborn, but that wasn't God's seed. God is dealing with those who honor him. Abraham could not have Ishmael as the firstborn in God's sight because Ishmael was not the way Abraham said. It wasn't between Abraham and Sarah. It was Abraham and Hagar. And God said, that's not what I told you. Faith. You're not operating in faith. Ishmael cannot be the firstborn. Nor the other six sons that he had, they couldn't be either because it wasn't Sarah. It wasn't the way God said it. Now, that's a lesson for us. If it's not done by faith, don't look for other results. Don't look for favorable results. If you don't do it the way God says it ought to be done, when the bottom falls out, don't look around like God's not with you. Because he's not. He didn't say he would. He says, if you do it your way, Galatians chapter 5. Now, that's, as they say now, I'm preaching to the choir. You know, when you do it your way, you know what happens, don't you? Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. If you find a believer who's dug a hole for himself, which you don't have to look far, you just have to know them a little more intimately, and you'll know we all dig those holes. And if you're overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, you who know God's answer, you who know God's word, you who could share God's word and will with him, you go to him in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, don't go to them with those three words that nobody wants to hear. I told you. He knows he's in that situation. She knows she's in that situation. You go there in the spirit of meekness. Verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Verse 7 is what we want here. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, that's the principle that we should let soak down in our memory. If you do it your way, look for the results. If you sow to the flesh, then of the flesh, you look for the consequences. If you do it God's way, then you can look for God to give you the results. Flesh, corruption. Spirit, life. Flesh, bad results. Spirit, good results. Prosperous. And this is up to you. God won't make you do what he wants done, just like he doesn't make these others do what he wants done. So verse back to Genesis 25. Esau comes in and he's sowing to the flesh. And he's giving up something much more important for a bowl of soup. He's giving up his birthright. Verse 31, 25-31, and Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? He's like, if I'm not alive, then what am I looking forward to? What inheritance am I going to have if I'm not here? Verse 33, and Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he swearing to him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Everything that he should have been entitled to, that he was to enjoy, that he was legally going to inherit, he won't enjoy those things. He lightly esteemed it. And Hebrews says this. Look over to Hebrews. And the Hebrew writer seems like a little more harsh what he says about Esau. And scripture called him a profane person. Well, I am.
Is it Hebrews 12:16?
Yes. Let's start at let's go back to verse 12. Let's go to 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. So we see that Esau, after he sells his birthright, he had regrets. He goes back to his father, and we'll go back to Genesis. He goes back to his father, and he pleads for a blessing. Genesis 27, and we'll come back to this where the Hebrew writer called him lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who sold his birthright for a morsel of meat. Genesis 27, verse 1, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old, and I know not the day of my death. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, and thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison, and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto thy brother, saying, bring me venison, and make me savory meat that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. I'm saying this at the sake of being a little cruel, but how's that for a good mother? Playing the son against the other son and deceiving the father. Now, that's real family matters, isn't it? You know how the scripture, they say the man wrote the scriptures. Nobody would tell their family secrets like this, would they? Not quickly. This is what they would say. This is God giving you the tea. He's giving you the inside scoop of what happened here. Verse 10. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And we're going to skip down to that. Go to we'll just keep reading this. And verse 11. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, "Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me. I shall seem to him as a deceiver." Really? "My father will feel me, and I will shall seem to him as a deceiver, and shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing." And his mother said unto him, "Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them." And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which he had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" And Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou obeyedest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." That's Jacob. That's his name. There's the usurping in action. You don't usurp without some type of deceit. And he's really getting it done, isn't he? He says, "I'm Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." Now, God being God, he could have intervened and said, I didn't do that. But he's letting this all go out. See, if God's behind this, then he is behind the lie, isn't he? He's allowing Jacob to be Jacob. Even though he already knows the elders shall serve the younger. Verse 21, "And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him." So here Isaac, you know, he's old, and his discernment is not there, but he hears the voice. He says, you sound like Jacob, but he feels the hands. And he says, well, I guess this is Esau. So he blessed him. 24. And he said, verse 24. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." So you see, Isaac, he's really questioning this. Every step, he's questioning this. And Jacob, every step, he's reinforcing his deceit. 25, and he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." One last check. He says, "Come a little closer." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord blessed. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. Now, before we read the rest of this, in verses 26 down to 29, Isaac is passing on that fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, dominion that we've been reading about. Jacob, even though by deceit, he thinks he's getting it by deceit, but he's getting it because God has already told Isaac or Rebecca what's going to happen. So what Jacob is doing now, it doesn't have to be done, but God allows it to happen. So Jacob now has the blessing of the firstborn. He has the dominion. He has the rulership right now. Verse 31, Esau comes in from the field, from his hunting. Verse 31, and he also had made a savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hath not thou reserved a blessing for me? Well, this is his reaping now, what he sowed, Esau. He already gave it away. The blessed right, the firstborn birthright, what comes with it is the blessing. They're not, you don't separate the two. You don't separate the heir from the inheritance. That's something to remember. When we are reading these things, that's something to remember. But Esau comes in. He says to his father, to eat of my venison. And he's like, I just ate. You just gave it to me. And he says, no, wasn't me. But he cried bitterly. Verse 34, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. That's just like when Abraham says, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And Isaac says, I can't do it. I've already blessed Jacob.
Can I say something?
Okay.
It's like us. Oh, Lord, just make an exception this one time.
I've done that before. I think we've all done it before. It's like
making those deals.
Right. Lord, if you get me out of this, I promise you I won't do it again.
Excuse me.
No.
I was about to say, I saw another similarity is that just like Abraham and Sarah tried to help God out with that, you know, that's the same thing that happened in this case, because she thought that since he had said that, okay, I'm going to make it happen, so put on this hair and all that, you know, and right. Go and do that. But not knowing that, you know, it was going to happen anyway without her.
It was going to happen, right. Now, these things are written for our learning. Paul said in Timothy that all scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. Now, we can see these things. We look back, and all these men are getting something that they don't deserve. They're all getting something simply because God is using these men. Is that the...
I got one more quick observation, and that is Isaac trusted in the smell and the touch, physical, but he ignored the voice.
He's going by his own discernment, which and these are things, like I said, we look at these things, and what you see is you see us. You see that we don't deserve the things that we get from God. It's not because of us. It's because we believe what he says that he's going to do. And it takes Jacob. It takes Jacob a while. We're going to find out. It takes him a while. Just like Abraham, from 75 to 175. Life experiences teach us to trust God. You know, Pastor Watkins used to say, when we would have our discussions, and I would ask him, you know, how, in so many words, like, how do you keep going? How do you keep going despite, you know, your setbacks and disappointments and your pitfalls and discouraging outcomes? And he would just say, just trust the Lord, son. Just trust the Lord. And, you know, you're looking for something a little more profound than that. You know, like you're looking for the seven, Johnny, you're looking for the seven steps to happiness or 12 steps to, you know, a spiritual breakthrough. All these books these guys write. You're looking for something like that. And
Naaman.
What's that?
Naaman.
Yes, you're looking for us. You're looking for, surely it should be done this way. But he'd say, just trust the Lord. And yes. Now, what's that?
Like with Naaman, this is too simple. Why did I have to come here? I got water back where I was.
And you're always looking for it to be done the way you want it done. And when he'd say that, now through the years, as the time I'm a little older now, I see now what he meant is that Galatians 6 principle is 5 and 6 is walking in the Spirit, is taking his word and just walking by faith, trusting him for the outcome. And when you do it God's way, whatever the outcome is, you could be happy with that. That's what Paul says. He says in 2 Corinthians about his infirmities and his necessities. He finds out that God's grace is sufficient. And he leans on that when he says, when I'm weak, then is he strong? In Philippians, same thing. He says, I have learned to be content. I've learned these things. Experience. So what we do now is, as our years go on, we should be learning these things. We should be learning not to do it the flesh way, not to lean on our own decisions. And that's a long class, isn't it? You notice that Abraham was 175, and I think he was a student, a lifelong student. Believers are lifelong students. You don't find a person, well, if you do find a person that says this, then you know he's not credible. If he says, I got it all covered. I'm Johnny, I'm super saint. You know
all
he's
slow learners.
Right, we're all slow, right? We need, Blake, we need the spiritual summer school.
Mm-hmm.
Is it summer school? Yeah, spiritual. Yeah. We need the spiritual summer school.
Remedial education.
Yes, Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5, start at verse 12. Hebrews 5:12. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The more you learn what God wants, the more equipped you are to walk by faith. The discerning good and evil is what does he say versus what other people say or what my other voice says. That flesh, what does God say versus what I think, what I feel.
By reason of use, sort of like the opposing would be ever learning and never coming to a knowledge of the truth. You might learn all this stuff, but if you don't apply it, have you really learned anything?
Scripture memorization is not scripture saturation. When we get those things, the Lord was saying something like this, let he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Not just with your physical ears. You got to let these things really take hold on us. We know what he says. We operate in what he says. Now back to Genesis, where Esau begs for the birthright, even with tears. And the Hebrew writer called him a profane person. And I thought, wow, that's pretty strong language for here's the man. He's sorry about what he did, but he's already given it up. He's already forfeited his position. He's already forfeited his inheritance. On the natural side, Esau is the progenitor to the Arab people. You look over to the Palestinian wars and fights that they have. That's what that is. That's Esau and Jacob. They're fighting over the inheritance. Because one says, my father gave this to me. And the other one says, no, my father gave it to me. And not only that, it goes back to Ishmael and Isaac. Jacob, it just goes on generation to generation. And you have the two brothers fighting each other and then their seed fighting each other. Now, we have some property in Mississippi, family property. So the property was to be divided by the siblings. Well, most of the siblings they've already passed away, and it goes to their children. So now you have the children now who have to contend over the inheritance. Some of them are interested, some of them aren't. And those who want it, they fight amongst each other because it's a family inheritance. But here, Abraham, he says he gave everything he had to Isaac, and he sent them, the rest of them, he sent them away. When Isaac blesses Jacob, guess whose right it is now? It's Jacob's. Yeah, it's Jacob's. It doesn't matter how Esau feels about it. It's done. Now, that's on the natural side. Now, spiritually, last week we talked about, do the believers have a relationship with Abraham? Now, notice this in Galatians. In Galatians, which the Apostle Paul writes, and he's writing with the Jews and the Gentiles in mind, because that's what he does. He's the apostle. He's writing to the Jews and Gentiles. All those now are on the same plane. When Paul writes, all his letters are written to those who are on the same plane. Galatians chapter 2. Just want to read this before we read these other verses. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. Who is Barnabas? Is he a Jew or a Gentile? He's a Jew, yes.
Well, he was a Levite, yeah.
Titus. Titus, a Jew or a Gentile?
Gentile.
Titus the Gentile. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Verse 7. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Is his ministry centered around the Gentiles? It's not a trick question. Paul, he says, I'm the apostle of what?
To the Gentiles.
To the Gentiles, yes. I'm not trying to trick you. I wouldn't trick you. Well, if I trick you, I test you, not trick you. Verse 9, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Now, I'm reading that first to establish this point, that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, the apostle to the heathen. And the heathen include those Jews who are outside of Jerusalem. They all group together now. There's no difference. Paul's saying there's no difference. Verse, we'll just read the rest of this. 13. And the other Jews, verse 10. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I was also forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We, who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Now, I just read that because Paul was making an argument to the Jews that came up to eat with Gentiles, to the Jews that came up to mingle with the Gentiles, live as the Gentiles. That means they didn't observe the commandments. They didn't observe any differences. Anything that showed a difference, they were not observing it. Circumcision, uncircumcision, law, it didn't matter. They recognized that we're all the same. And they're eating with the Gentiles until some others came up. And then they all of a sudden, they recognized the differences again. Now, I'm saying this to get to this. Abraham, Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Galatians 3, verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. 3 verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Abraham.
Jesus Christ.
Through Isaac. Through Jacob. What he says, that the blessing is coming, the righteousness, being an heir, the blessing is coming on the Gentiles through who?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Brethren, 15, I speak after the manner of men, though it be a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Isaac. Now I'm trying to trick you. Isaac, or is it Jacob? He said, the seed is who? Christ. Okay, verse 326. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Abraham's, he didn't say that, did he? He said, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Are you Christ?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just asking. Now, that's just one. We're talking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, but we're really getting down to this. We're getting down to the seed. All these characters are pointing towards one character. All these temporary images, Blake, are pointing toward the one man who is the image. And then he reproduces after his kind. Now, Galatians chapter 4, verse 27. Galatians 4, verse 27. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Now, Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, he's given you an examples, and we'll move off from this. I know it's when you get a little doctrinal, it gets it makes you scratch your head a little bit. But Paul is showing us that the significance of these men is that they were all children of faith, Abraham, Isaac, eventually Jacob, who becomes Israel, And Paul is showing you, he's saying, they didn't get it by works. God promised them something. God imputed them righteousness. They didn't get it by natural lineage. They didn't get it just because they were physically Abraham's seed. You have to respond in faith. Priority with God is faith. That's what separates the true believer from the want to be believer. Esau, the scripture called him a profane person because he gave up his right to the inheritance for, like the scripture said, a morsel of meat. Jacob is usurping his way to the firstborn right, but God has already told him, has already stated through Rebekah that the elder shall serve the younger. And what Jacob does in his lifetime is he becomes a true believer. He begins through his experiences to finally trust the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham. Now, one last verse, and then we'll get back to close out here. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, who his name becomes Israel. Paul finishes out the letter to the Galatians. He says this, verse 14, Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, Gentiles and Jews there, he uses Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to prove out the point that the significance is spiritual and not physical. We look at Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, we look at them in the physical aspect. When I say physical, that they are associated with a land promise, a land inheritance. And God is showing us, I believe this, that through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's showing you the significance of the spiritual aspect of those men. Abraham, we saw last week, he's the servant of the Most High God. Do you remember what that was?
Possessor of heaven and earth.
The possessor of heaven and earth. Now, we'll just keep these things in our mind as we're going forward. And we'll go back now to Genesis 27, and we'll close out with a verse, Genesis 27, verse 34. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hath thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above, and by thy sword shalt thou live, and shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And we'll stop there. But the main thing is, we see how Jacob usurped the position. But from here on, that's his beginning. But from here on, we're going to see how God works in his life. And Jacob, by the decisions that he makes, he learns to trust God. He learns to depend upon the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and that God becomes his God. Now, we'll stop there and pick up again next time in 28. So we'll close out. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for recording these things. We pray as we meditate on these things that your purpose and your plan might become more and more clear to us as we read and believe these things. And we thank you again for this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.